At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. The short story: junior guard Tyrell Ward poured in a team-high 15 points to lead 5 Rams in double figures as VCU defeated St. Peter's before a sellout crowd at the Stew on a Wednesday night here in Richmond. That feels like that's been the theme of this season. 5 guys in double figures for VCU. They are a deep team. They've got a ton of guys that can score in the starting lineup and off the bench. Joining us right now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline, you heard him on the call alongside Rodney Ashby. It's the play-by-play voice of the Rams, Robbie Robinson. What's up, Robbie?
Hey, Adam. Thanks for having me on, man. It's good to hear your voice. Hope everybody's having a good Thursday.
Absolutely. And I just thought that the Rams last night were solid on both sides of the ball, but the biggest story has to be the bench unit with 36 points.
Yeah, and I think we're deep. I think that's been something that's been talked about a lot with this team. So you're going to have games where you're going to have guys. It really depends on who's on the bench. I mean, if Tyrell Ward's coming off the bench to play, he is going to score. So I think you're gonna have double figure bench points almost just by way of him coming off the bench. And then when you add Terrence Hill and his ability to hit threes, and you got some of the other guys, Michael Bell, who didn't score last night, but Michael Bell's the guy that can also score. So that's the beauty of this team, isn't it, Adam? I think 1 through 9, it's hard to really make a lot of it's hard to really say who the best 5 or 6, 7 guys are. So I don't know who do you think is the best player on this team? Adam, I'll ask you this. Who is the best player? Like last year, categorically, it was Max Schulga. Adam, who do you think it is this year?
I think it's Jadrian Tracy, but he's not the guy that I want to be the best player on the court. You know, I want it to be Brandon Jennings. I really do. I just don't think he's there yet offensively.
Well, yeah, and I mean, keep in mind, too, like, Brandon's still just a sophomore, and while he did play a decent amount last year, he didn't log a ton of minutes. So, yeah, I think ideally you'd love to have your guard be someone that can go out there and do exactly what Max did last year. I mean, Max was the perfect example of that. Got drafted by the Celtics, A-10 player of the year. Who doesn't want that? For sure, but that's hard to get. And so I think that's the beauty of this team, that if Brandon Jennings, on the same token, if Max didn't play well last year, it was a slog for us. We had a tough go of it. So we don't have that necessarily. None of the guys have that pressure of having to go out and just have spectacular games. And if they don't, then the team's going to lose.
Yeah. Also, can't forget about Lazar Djokovic, who's been awesome. And I do feel like if he hadn't rolled his ankle, maybe we win that neutral site game against Utah State. But, Robbie, rotations are the most important thing for Coach Martelli Jr. to figure out. And I kind of feel like I'm seeing one here with, all right, you've got Nick Lewis as your starting point guard. And when he's tired, Ahmad Noel is then in. Your guards, because it feels like we're playing 3 guards, are Tracy and Jennings, who then get replaced by Terrence Hill and Tyrell Ward, and then it's like Barry Evans and Djokovic, and they get replaced by Michael Bell and Christian Furman. So I think we're starting to see a rotation develop.
Yeah, I would. I don't necessarily disagree with that, Adam. Although I'm not sure. I don't know how much it's. He's trying to develop a rotation. There's no doubt about that. So I don't want to make it seem like he's not. I just don't know how. I don't know how close it's coming to what he actually wants. You know. Because you're right, like Nick Lewis, he did. I mean, Nick Lewis started last night for sure, but Nick only played 21 minutes. So, I mean, you look at that. Ahmad Noel played 17. So, I mean, that's kind of interchangeable. I think he is still. I think it's still a game by game and what the matchups are. Like last night, they didn't have a whole lot of height, so we could play Michael Bell a little bit more at the five, and didn't necessarily have to play Furman or even bring a Keyshawn Mitchell off the bench. Djokovic was dominant with 30 minutes. So yeah, I mean, I think that still remains to be seen. I think it just goes back to, like, you know, last night, Nick Lewis, after scoring 19 points against Utah State, he had 6. And Ahmad Noel, after having a double-figure game against Utah State, you come up against St. Peter's, and he has 5. And so there's still some consistency, I think, this team, these guys, as a unit and individually, have to start to develop. The only guy that's really been consistent, honestly, is Tracy, like you just mentioned. Everybody else is I think, still searching for what those numbers are that you can expect when they get in the game.
Yeah, and I think because of the roster being so deep, Martelli Jr. can just reward guys for their performance. I thought Ahmad Noel's defense earned him more minutes. I thought Tyrell Ward's offense earned him more minutes in last night's game. Why do you think, you know, for me, I thought Barry Evans would be more of a scorer for VCU, and 11 points is solid, but it feels like he's kind of finding his way in this offense, which I thought he's the guy that played under Phil Martelli. He would know where he's supposed to be in this offense. What do you think of Barry Evans on the offensive side of the ball right now?
I'm having more conversations about Barry Evans than I am about my wife and I. Like, it's just like Barry Evans, that all Ram fans want to talk about Barry Evans. It's funny. So I'll ask you this, Adam. I'm going to turn it back around on you there. What was your reasoning that you thought that way about Barry Evans? It's a very common opinion, but I'm curious about why you thought that. Was it just the way you saw him in the black and gold game? Was it just, I mean, he's got to be good, right? I mean, he came with Coach, and yeah. Max Scholga came with Odom, and Odom, you know, that's kind of, I feel like, I guess my roundabout way of saying it is that I feel like there's a lot of undue pressure on Barry Evans to be this super stud guy where, you know, Barry, it's not like he averaged 25 points per game last year at Bryant. He was at St. Bonaventure for 2 years. He was a role player for Mark Schmidt. I think he's probably trying to find exactly the player that he is, and he's doing it under these expectations from people like me and you and other people I'm having these conversations with, that they're expecting him to be a 14.9 rebound per game guy. And I don't know how much there is an evidence that would support us feeling that way.
Yeah. I think you kind of nailed it. Like, the fact that he was in the A-10 prior, the fact that he came with the coach, the fact that he was a conference champion last year. Yeah. I wanted him to be like, not like Scholga, but more like Sean Bairstow.
Yeah, for sure. Or like, and then we're always trying to compare guys. And I mean, I'm the worst at that. You ask anybody that's been around me, because Shaka Smart would get so mad at me for trying to compare guys. I thought, is he kind of like this guy? Shaka's like, Robbie, that is not the way it works. And I think we always do, like, who's going to be the Jack Clark of this year? Well, I mean, everybody's got different skills. And I think by and large, we haven't had a guy like Barry, really, that can dribble, that can shoot threes, that has that kind of size and that kind of athleticism, and that is still kind of searching for what exactly his role is going to be. On the same token, like, you look at what Barry did last night. He had a pretty good game. I mean, the turnovers weren't great, but his plus-minus was 16. He had 11 points and 8 rebounds. He had 4 assists. He was 1 assist shy of a triple nickel and was 5 of 7 from the field. I think if you're Barry Evans, you're like, man, I feel like I played a pretty good game. And by and large, you did. It's like, I've had some conversations today about our defense. Like, man, our defense struggles, and we feel like this and feel like that. We held him to 61 points. That's 2 points shy of keeping him in the 50s. That's pretty good in college basketball. So that's kind of my roundabout way to say, like, I think everything is fine. This team is still very young in how much collective experience they've had. They've got a first-year head coach. We're going to have to go through some, like, you know, some a little bit of choppy waters, and everything's not going to look perfect for 40 minutes every game. I think last night was emblematic of that. In the end, we win by 18. We have 5 guys in double figures. we're throwing guys at you left and right. You don't know who's going to score. And I think that's going to become a superpower of ours.
Yeah. No, and I'm glad I'm having similar conversations that you are about Barry Evans. This team has shown the ability to go on some really good runs. Had an 8-0 run last night, and I think that's the key for them because they could score the ball. They get in transition. They get fast break points, but consecutive stops allows them to go on these scoring runs.
Yeah, they've got some real spurtability, and we saw that firsthand on Friday night, and you're down 18 in the second half, and you're just wondering what time the plane's going to leave from Dallas Love Field, and the next thing you know, we're in a tie ball game. And I think last night they pulled it within 9 on a couple different occasions, and that's a little nervous number, 9. If you're up 9, that's only a 3-possession game, and they never let it get. I feel like we turn around, and next thing you know, we're up by 15 or 16 again. So we can put points on the board quickly. He wants to push pace. Like, that's what Coach Martelli wants to do. He wants us to be up-tempo. He wants us to take good shots, but he wants to take them quickly. This is not a work it down to the under 10 in the shot clock type of situation. This is get good shots, get them quick, get out in transition. We fast break really well, and I think that's one of the reasons we can score so quickly. When you go down and you're two passes and a three-pointer by Terrell Ward or a three-pointer by Terrence Hill, like we saw last night, you can put points on the board very fast, and that's what we've seen in the last two games at least.
Yeah. It almost looked like Terrence Hill was working with Joe Bamisil. He is jumping higher on his release from his three-point shot. It looks smooth, man.
I think he's gotten good coaching from our staff on that. I think he has got an open mindset, which is he's not going to just dig in and say, this is the player I am, which is, I think says a lot about Terrence as a person. You will not find a bigger fan of Terrence Hill than I. I'm so happy he's still here. He can really score. And last night, to bring a guy off the bench and go bam, bam, hit a couple three-pointers, and all of a sudden you're in double figures, I think that just leads to what is going to make us successful throughout the season. And yeah, you're right. I think he's been working on his shot, and that's what college is all about. You get good coaches, they give them good teaching, and all of a sudden you make an adjustment, and man, you're hitting three-pointers in a little bit better clip. The funny thing was, Adam, like, he missed that free throw. He was 17 for 17 from the free throw line last year. Do you know that? He did not miss a free throw, and he made his first two this year, and he missed that one, and there was a lane violation. So he got a mulligan, and he did not miss the mulligan, which was cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just, I'm so glad that he stayed around. And I think we're going to see that with a lot of guys where this coaching staff will develop them, and they're going to be much better in you know, February and March than they are today, even though they were good last night.
I agree. We have a really knowledgeable staff. Phil Martelli Sr. at St. Joe's was an expert in teaching kids basketball. He would make guys better. You'd have a guy that would be good his freshman year, and then, holy cow, DeAndre Bumbry. He is an NBA draft pick. And
right.
Same with, like, Langston Galloway. Like, it's just a long list. And I think his sons have picked up on that, and they're great teachers. So I do think the improvement you'll see from this team game by game is going to be good, and I think over the course of the season it'll be substantial.
Robbie, always appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much.
AWOD, thanks for having me on, man. Hope everybody has a great weekend.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. So the Commanders are in Madrid preparing for the Dolphins, and Dan Quinn made a change at the start of this week. And why do you make a change to try and create a spark? And there's a good article in Sports Illustrated in which they say, we've seen several occasions in the past where a coaching change sparks increased performances from NFL rosters. And I think you can say the same thing about even a quarterback change. A change makes everybody feel like there's a fire lit under their butt, and they've got to improve and play better. And so even if it's just for a short period, that's got to be part of the motivation behind Dan Quinn making this change. And as Michael said, they probably were going to go to Madrid, come home, and fire Joe Witt Jr. But he makes this change, and if there's some kind of improvement on defense with Dan Quinn in charge, he probably won't have to fire Joe Witt Jr. Marcus Mariota was asked if there's been any change or any thing that he's noticed different since Dan Quinn has taken over, and he said, quote, not at all, honestly. Marcus Mariota said, that's credit to him, Dan Quinn, because I think as a head coach, now that you're taking some of those play calling duties over, you would kind of firsthand think that maybe he would do things a little different, but it's been very much the same, and it's a credit to Dan and the defensive staff to allow that to happen. And for us as an offense, it's been status quo and continue to work and build, and I think we're excited to get things going and practice. And I think Mariota had the most interesting quote of anybody after the game on Sunday when he says, we're not who we think we are. And I really do think that that success last year, it got into the players' minds more than the coaches' minds. And that's why I've seen players regress. I don't think we've seen coaches regress. I think it's the same Cliff Kingsbury. I think it's the same Joe Witt Jr. that we had coaching up an awful defense last year. But guys like Frankie Louvu have taken a step back. Mikey Sainristil have taken a step back. Quan Martin has taken a step back. Johnny Newton has taken a step back. So many guys that were big pieces last year have taken a step back, and I do think it's because they're not who they thought they were. They thought that they had arrived with the success they had as a team last year. Little did they know, it was because they were playing as a team every single week, not, you know, 11 different individuals. That's what I've seen defensively. They're flying around the field, yes, individually, trying to make plays rather than as a team. Last year, we saw so much gang tackling, right? One guy, Louvu, would get his arm on it, and then all of a sudden, everybody's punching the ball out and bringing guys down. This year, it's been a lot of one-on-one guys either missing a tackle or one-on-one guys trying to make a tackle, and the guys bully ball forward for another 5 or 6 yards. The team needs to improve. The team needs to improve, and Dan Quinn's hoping that his move can be the spark. Phone lines are open. 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. We are working Jay Money into the lineup here as Stubb is taking over as the role of Kirk Cousins, highest paid bench player here in the National Football League on AWOD Radio. And Money has put together an MVP list here for us. All right, what you got for us, Jay Money?
Yeah, the most important award in football, right? The one that everyone covets. There's five guys I think have pulled away from the rest of the pack here.
Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. This is most valuable player, or is this most valuable quarterback?
Most valuable player. I've got half non-quarterbacks on this list, actually.
I'll tell you right now, they're not going to win the award.
you never know. Look, if guys break records, it's possible. Things can happen. But that's actually where I'm going to start. I'm going to start at number five. Jackson Smith and Jigba has had just an incredible season. He's been by far the best wide receiver in the NFL. Over 200 yards more than the closest wide receiver to him, Ja'Marr Chase, who won the Triple Crown last year, didn't even get a single MVP vote, which that doesn't make any sense to me. But he should be on the ballot. Top five, JSN. He is averaging 115 yards per game, is Jackson Smith and Jigba, and he's carrying this Sam Darnold-led team to a really, really impressive record so far.
Jackson Smith and Jigba is showing me that he is a very versatile wide receiver. He can be in the backfield. He can line up in the slot. He can line up on the outside. He's got great hands. He's got the speed to hit the home run ball. I just don't think he's an MVP. And once again, most valuable player is phony. It's most valuable quarterback. The last time it was a non-quarterback was Adrian Peterson in 2012. Behind that, LaDainian Tomlinson in 2006. It used to be an award that running backs won. Sean Alexander, Marshall Faulk, Barry Sanders, Terrell Davis. It's now most valuable quarterback. So Jackson Smith and Jigba deserves to be in the conversation. I don't think he would get votes.
It's very hard for a wide receiver to get MVP votes because you can't catch the ball without someone throwing it to you.
Yeah.
And all those stats, while it goes to the wide receivers, it also goes to the quarterback. We'll get to quarterbacks here. This is where I got a couple in a row. Patrick Mahomes is at number four. He's always in this conversation every single year, but this is the best he's played since his sophomore season. He's been putting up numbers that he hasn't put up since Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce were in their primes on the Chiefs. This is just a really incredible Patrick Mahomes season. He's fifth in the NFL in yards, 17 touchdowns. He's 12th in passer rating, which isn't the best, but he's doing it without a lot of his weapons. You can see the difference it makes when Rashee Rice came in. It's making this offense a whole lot more efficient. Patrick Mahomes up in this conversation for me.
Yeah, and it's because he doesn't have the best weapons, right, that other quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, do have. I'll be interested. He has got to limit the turnovers. Two against Washington 2 weeks ago, one last week. So I think that's the only thing that would hold him back is if the interceptions start to rack up.
Yeah, and he's got the best touchdown to interception ratio in NFL history. So I'm not super concerned about that. He is very good at keeping the ball on his side of the field. Drake May's number three for me. We talked about a little bit on the sports app with a clip from Ryan Clark on ESPN, but Drake May absolutely deserves to be in this conversation. You want to talk about doing it without weapons? His number one wide receiver, Stephon Diggs, wasn't expected to do much, but Kayshon Boutte has arguably been his number one weapon over there, right? They've been doing it with Ramondre Stevenson and Travion Henderson finally touching the ball at running back last week. This is a Patriots team that is going to win the AFC East, and a Patriots team that is being led by a second-year quarterback that's just come out of nowhere and deserves to be in these MVP conversations. He has looked incredibly special this year.
Has he looked better than Jaden Daniels' rookie year?
I won't go that far, because Jaden Daniels, to me, in his rookie season, deserved to be in top five quarterback conversations. Drake May is playing great, and he's top 10 quarterback conversations, but I don't think he quite got to the level of he's going to make this happen all on his own. What Jaden was doing was just winning no matter what was in front of him. Drake May has a little bit, I won't say more help, but a little bit better in front of him
and
than Jaden Daniels.
And better defensively as well. But the stats deserve to be in the MVP conversation. Third in yards, third in touchdowns, fifth in QBR.
Yeah, he's been incredible all season long. I got another quarterback, though, ahead of him, and that's Matthew Stafford. We've talked about it all year long. We talked about it a little bit here on the show. He is first in touchdowns, 25 of them. It helps when you throw into maybe the best receiving core in football in Puka and Devontae Adams. But that defense has been really good for him as well, and he just hasn't made mistakes. Touchdown interceptions is probably the most important stat. You don't want to turn the ball over. He's been quick, he's been efficient, he's been healthy, most importantly, and he's powering the Rams to, I think, them being the best team in football right now. And the best team in football, the best quarterback on the best team, a lot of times really propels you to the top of the MVP leaderboards. But number one for me, it's Jonathan Taylor, the way that he's playing football. I know we talked about it again. It's a quarterback award, most valuable quarterback. Jonathan Taylor is not a quarterback, but he just every other week, three touchdowns. He is the reason the Colts are at the top of the AFC right now. He is on pace for a top 10 all-time season just by rushing yards, on pace for nearly 2,000 yards, 1,936 overall, 26 touchdowns on the ground with three or four more through the air, depending on if he keeps his production up. He's got two right now. That would be third all time.
I think that's the question. Will he keep his production up? Will they get the same quarterback play from Daniel Jones? But my guy's Matthew Stafford. I mean, you just went on a rant about that, and it's the wins are so impressive and the losses are against good teams that are close. 33-26 to the Eagles, 26-23 to the 49ers. It's the touchdown to interception ratio that's incredible at 25-2. He's finding his targets. He's brought, you know, Devontae Adams back to life here. It's definitely Matthew Stafford for me, with, you know, Drake May probably in second right now, and Patrick Mahomes in third. I don't see a running back winning this award. Even though he probably should get votes, I don't see him winning this award. And would you tell me, do you think that Jonathan Taylor is having a better year, as incredible it is, than what Saquon did last year when he was third place in the voting? Because I think Saquon was probably better last year.
Yeah, I think Saquon probably had a better season, but if and this is a big if Jonathan Taylor can break the single season rushing record, which Saquon was about 100 yards away from doing last year, and if Jonathan Taylor keeps his pace up, he'll be about 150 back from that. It's entirely possible. He just went for 225 yards last week. He's done that three or four times this season. If he has another 200 yard game, he's going to be on pace to break the record. And behind that Colts offensive line and a Colts offense that just feeds him the rock over and over again, there's no reason to disbelieve that he can't get to that record. It's entirely possible. That's what it's going to take.
That's what it's going to take, yeah. Because Peterson got second place when he won MVP. Saquon was 99 yards away. So, yeah, I think you're right. If Taylor can break the record or get top three right behind Jamal Lewis, Adrian Peterson, Eric Dickerson, then he could be in line to win the MVP award. But again, if the Rams, though, have 13 wins, they're going to give it to Matthew Stafford because it's the most valuable quarterback, not really the most valuable player. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, total, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. We've been spending so much time today talking about Luca Light, Neokalos of Dallas for Virginia Tech, who is this unbelievable 22-year-old freshman out of Greece. But right now, we're going to move from the college ranks to the NBA. It's time for the Fast Break with AWOD on the Fan.
We're going on a Fast Break with AWOD. From buzzer-beating shots to the best highlight plays from around the league, every clutch moment.
Stroking it from three.
The all-stars of the league. We're out in transition. It's a breakaway.
It's good at the buzzer.
It's the Fast Break and AWOD talking all things NBA.
Joining us right now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline, it's our buddy Justin Fensterman. What's going on, Fensty?
AWOD, great being with you, man. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good here, and I think we should start here with the freak, the alien that is Victor Wembanyama, and the Spurs start to the season. How far can they go this year?
I mean, if everything holds up and they're able to stay healthy, and especially being healthy towards the end of the season, they should be able to go on a deep run. Now, do they have the maturity yet? A lot of young players, as we've seen from teams in the past, it's almost like they need to go through those motions and just gain that playoff experience against some of the powerhouses out west. So I think this Spurs team at this point, you can get them to the second round, and then it's more next year as long as everyone holds up. That's what we're focused on. But the defense has been outstanding, and no one's been able to stop Victor Wembanyama. He's matured, and he's gotten a lot more aggressive in the post.
Tell me your thoughts on the least surprising firing in the history of the league with Nico Harris getting fired. I mean, everybody saw this coming.
I'm not surprised by it at all, AWOD. The whole thing was an absolute disaster here. And then giving Cooper Flagg, even getting the opportunity to get Cooper Flagg, how is that going to be able to give the fans of the Dallas Mavericks something to really cheer for, unless he was the next LeBron James? And clearly Cooper Flagg, as skilled as he is, he's going to need a little bit of time to develop as they figure out where he best fits. They didn't think about that beforehand. So we'll have to see how it goes with Kyrie Irving coming back. I still can't get over them trading Luka Doncic. And it's not all Nico Harris, and it's also his boss. They didn't want to give the entire Mavs organization, didn't want to give Luka Doncic that supermax. I don't know why you don't give him the contract. And if, let's just say, 3 years in, it's not working out anymore, then just about everybody in the league at that point will want to trade for him. So the whole move was a mess. And now they're talking about Anthony Davis possibly getting traded midseason. It's a disaster.
You mentioned Cooper Flagg, and, you know, not that he's struggling, but I think not as good as people thought he would be right away. VJ Edgecombe, though, rookie of the year, right?
Oh, he's looking great so far. The problem is, though, a lot of these, remember, AWOD, it's very stat-based now, I'd say, these awards in the last 10 years. And the problem is Joel Embiid takes up so much of that usage that when you have this team fully healthy, Paul George is going to come back. I wonder if Edgecombe is essentially stuck at the arc, because how many possessions do they have to go around between Maxey and Embiid alone, let alone adding a third or fourth guy? So I think right now what we're seeing from him is excellent, and Embiid will sit out at games. But we have to remember that when this team is at full strength, it's going to hit everybody's usage. It's going to hit everybody's shots. So that's why I'm very excited what we're seeing. But we have to temper our expectations until this team is at full strength.
Fensty, if I was a Sixers fan, and thank God I'm not because that city sucks, but if I was, I would be advocating to trade Joel Embiid. Go all in with the young two of Maxey and Edgecombe and try to get something in return to build around the youth.
I can't say that's a bad idea because this guy has not been able to hold up. The reason why the Sixers team has not really been able to go on any type of playoff run is because this guy can barely play. We're lucky at this point we get 50 games out of Joel Embiid, and it's clear that he's still not 100%. There's something going on with his knee. That's why he's constantly getting checked out. Not even the Sixers can hide it anymore. So what the question is, what type of value can he bring back? Because he is damaged goods, and a lot of those teams are going to be looking at, especially the teams that have those draft assets who are probably in the middle and towards the bottom of the league. Well, like the Sixers, are they going to want to invest the next 5 to 7 years into this guy? That's a big-time question to ask. So I can't say you're wrong, Awad. Even though we know Joel Embiid is one of the toughest competitors on the floor, one of the hardest guys to stop, he's not on the floor much anymore. So if they get rid of him for a lot of draft compensation and a rising star, I think that's fine.
Check out Justin Fensterman on Twitter, at Fensty Sports, fantasy guru site, lead NBA analyst, and SiriusXM Fantasy as well. We're on the fast break with Awad and Fensty talking NBA. Let's talk NBA television. And Sundays, NBC, and then Tuesdays, Peacock, and Wednesdays, ESPN. Are you enjoying all the different avenues to watch NBA basketball this year?
I wish we could all go back to the basic cable model and where everybody can just get NBA League Pass and just be very happy, but these are not the times we live in. So like you just explained right there, it's a complete roadmap. Like I'm playing Super Mario World, having to get over these obstacles to just watch basketball and sports in general, Awad. It's all over the place, and I know that these services need to make money, but it's just too much to follow already, and it's getting very ridiculous, and it's not going to stop.
Fensty, I watched on Peacock the Pistons and Wizards battle, and Washington had a 7-point lead with a minute left. It went to overtime. In overtime, they had a 5-point lead with a minute left. Detroit won. What does that tell you about the Eastern Conference? The Wizards are the worst team in the conference. The Pistons are the best. They should have won that game.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely very interesting right there with what you just explained. And yeah, you could say that the Pistons were, I believe the Pistons were missing three guys, if not more. But the bottom line is you still had Cade Cunningham there. You still had Jalen Duren, so they should have taken care of him. I will say this about the Wizards, and I'll say this. When it comes to someone who's been able to bring them positive offense most nights, Alex Saar has toughened up a little bit, Awad.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he's the savior of the franchise just yet, but one of the things I'm noticing about him, even in tougher matchups against bigger bigs, he's still able to get through because then he spaces himself out and goes to the elbow and takes some shots. But we've seen more of an inside game from him. So that's the one area of encouragement when it comes to the Wizards and also Johnson's three-point shooting ability. But Alex Saar has toughened up, and we're able to see him score beyond just squaring up from the perimeter or the elbow.
Yeah, I prematurely called him a bust after Summer League. For some reason, he was awful in the Summer League and has had a lot of confidence this season. You know, although the team's just 1-11, he's absolutely been the biggest bright spot, and he's the guy with the most superstar potential based on his size and his skills. So that's been certainly nice to see for the Washington Wizards. And I had multiple people reach out to me and saying, yeah, they're awful, but this is the most fun they've had watching Wizards basketball in quite some time because you're starting to see the vision of Michael Winger and Will Dawkins. Is there anybody stopping OKC from repeating, though?
Man, as of right now, it's very hard to see it, especially with the injuries that occurred around the league. I want to give love to Houston, but we're seeing without Van Vliet areas of struggle for them, but they're a very solid defensive team. I want to give Denver some love, too. So right now, really, I know it's kind of what we're seeing in the standings, but outside of Denver, because Jokic is just a nightmarish matchup for anyone, OKC's doing all this, Awad. They don't even have Jalen Williams. They're essentially, beyond Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, their second key player. They don't even have them in their 12-1. That's all you need to know about this team. I don't think anybody's stopping them.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you right there. 10 games into the season or so, what's worked out better, Luka in L.A. or KD in Houston?
So far, I mean, from a record standpoint, ultimately, it's pretty much the same between the two. KD was good about this situation with him in Houston. They've got a gigantic starting lineup that they put out there. So KD doesn't need to be the guy every night. Yeah, there are going to be some nights like nights against the Wizards where he's going to shoot more. But outside of that, he just needs to utilize his big body on defense against some of those smaller guards. And also, because that's how big this lineup is, and on the offensive end, sometimes they'll be shooting, sometimes they'll be a decoy and just setting up all the other bigs. So that's what's good there. With Luka Doncic, considering, all things considered, we haven't seen LeBron James. He's starting to ramp up work at all. But where this Lakers team would be if they didn't have him, it just shows how deadly of a guy he is on both sides of the ball. Because as great as he is on offense, he looks a little sleeker, everything, he's just as committed on defense. So I got to give the edge to Luka, but KD's role now is starting to get smaller, and I think that's very good for him, especially with the wear and tear.
What's the biggest storyline in the NBA currently that's not getting talked about enough?
I think one of the biggest storylines, beyond Detroit looking great, because they don't even have Malik Beasley, a sharpshooter from last year. You talking about San Antonio, but I think one of the biggest storylines here is just how deep this Atlanta Hawks team is. Because, Awad, I was looking at some numbers the other day because I was trying to see if maybe I could look at wagering a few little cop skis. You know how it is. You want to have a good night and everything like that. But I noticed with Atlanta, numbers were down. They play fast, but I've noticed over the last five games, even with Trae Young out, this team has been playing some of the best defense in the NBA. You're wondering why they're the fifth seed with no Trae Young right now. They're deep, and they've proven that other guys can step in and get it done and help out with the scoring. So I think Atlanta playing top five defense right now, it's kind of snuck up on us, despite not having Trae Young, is very eye-opening.
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting because I kind of thought that Atlanta was in the situation that Washington was in with Beal and Wall, where, all right, they can be a 7-4 seed every year, but can they actually break through and get to the conference championship? But I think they're off to a good start this year, and we'll see how far it can take them, right?
No, absolutely, and that's the thing. They don't need Kristaps Porzingis to do a lot. They can use him just like Boston did. They've got multiple bigs. They've got talent all over this roster, and they even paid for a bench, which I thought was very impressive too. So you put Young back in that mix right there, and they can keep up this defense. The Eastern Conference is a little bit open right now. Maybe you see them in the Eastern Conference Finals.
With all the work that you're doing with Fantasy Guru and SiriusXM, how much are you talking about the NBA case that's going on right now with Chauncey Billups and everyone?
So, to be honest with you, Awad, with what I do, which is writing up some of these plays and also DFS content, I'm not talking a lot about it. We know it's there. We know it's now happening in baseball, too, so it's not just basketball. But, Awad, at the end of the day, you know, for me, being a content guy, there's no need for me to include it in anything I do, because what I'm focused on is who's going to be bettering each other when it comes to these teams and these players. So focusing on the matchups at hand and writing up plays and which teams I think are going to be awesome, it really keeps away from what's going on outside right now. So
yeah,
there's no way to link it. And at the end of the day, man, with the content I do, yeah, it is something to think about. Yeah, it is something that is a reality, and now you're seeing it in multiple sports. But while there's still areas where we can write up content, man, people like us can still enjoy the NBA despite what's going on right now.
Yeah, and you mentioned it. You're doing your player props? Well, so is the Gambino family. Can you believe this?
Yes. Yes, it's me and Carlo Gambino's great-grandson. We're doing the props.
Fancy, appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Awad.
You're listening to Awad Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD here on a thirsty Thursday, November 13th. Feels like it should be a Friday, given the fact I was up late last night with the VCU game, then checking out the Virginia Tech highlights as well. Joining us right now to talk UVA athletics on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline, it's Preston Willett. What's going on, Preston?
What's up, Adam? It does feel like a Friday, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you know what? Who's becoming a UVA athletics fan? It's this guy, Awad. I was heartbroken for Chandler Morris over the weekend. What is the latest update you can provide for us?
Yeah, I mean, it seemed unfathomable to think that he would be able to recover this quickly, but as things stand right now, I mean, he was at practice on Wednesday. Tony Elliott said the signs were positive, and he's just going through the protocols right now. So, I mean, signs are trending towards him playing on Saturday down at Duke. Of course, you know, he's still got the major hurdle of being cleared by, you know, the team doctors first, you know, coming out of these protocols, but I think it's trending in a positive direction for UVA to have number four out there. You'd be more surprised if he wasn't out there, I'll say at this point.
Oh, really? That's interesting. So the game is November 15th, 3:30. When do you think we'll find out an official ruling?
Probably Saturday, right before kickoff. Like,
really?
I said from the get-go last week, just with protocols and everything, it's usually a weak timeline, and so I would suspect first ACC injury report will come out tonight around 8 o'clock, and I think that'll say questionable for him, and then from there, it'll probably be questionable again on Friday, and then we'll find out, you know, Friday right before kickoff.
Does Virginia still control their own destiny?
For the most part, yeah. Like, it really comes down to who wins this game between Duke and UVA for who controls their destiny. If Duke wins, the tiebreakers and everything look pretty favorable for them, and if UVA wins, pretty much the same case. There is one situation, I guess, where SMU could actually win a tiebreaker over UVA, but for the most part, whoever wins this game between Virginia and Duke looks like a sure bet to go to Charlotte.
Your thoughts on the initial college football playoff rankings and then the second one. Of course, UVA was on it at first, and then after the loss, not the same.
It seems like they're kind of guessing and piecing this together, what to do with the ACC week by week. I mean, the first time it came out, once you saw like one or two ACC teams kind of bunched up together, you're like, yeah, they're just going to throw them all together. They don't know what to do with the ACC right now, and that's kind of how it played out. UVA was the highest ranked at 14 last week. Now, this week, they fall back to 19, so they didn't ding them that much for the loss against Wake Forest. I know the college football playoff chairman, you know, committee chairman said that, you know, they did take into account that Chandler Morris did not play the majority of that game against Wake Forest in that loss. Right now with the ACC, though, it's just, you know, they moved Miami all the way up ahead of Georgia Tech, and it's like, well, why'd you do that? If last week you didn't think the resume was good enough, nothing happened one week that would make you move them all the way up. So it really seems like they're guessing right now as far as what to do with the ACC.
Yeah, there's no respect for the ACC. I mean, that's absolutely the first thing that needs to be said. And I don't understand how the committee is going to keep Notre Dame in over Miami if they both finish with a 10-2 record and Miami has the head-to-head win. Why do you even play the games then, right? Because they're just looking at it and they're saying, yeah, the ACC is a chaos conference. It's not really a P4 anymore. Let's just go with another team. Like, why do you even play the games then? Because Miami won that one head-to-head.
Yeah, and it's funny because they use head-to-heads in some situations but not in others. Like, UVA has been a spot a bet ahead of Louisville each week because they won the head-to-head. So they value that enough to put UVA ahead of Louisville still, but they don't value it enough to put Miami ahead of Notre Dame, who, when you look at the resumes laid out, like, very similar resumes, and then obviously Miami has the head-to-head. So it seems like, case in point, Miami should be ahead of Notre Dame in the rankings, but there's this fascination with Notre Dame where I don't even think they have a great win this year. Probably their best win is against USC, who is a fringe top 25 team. It's really not that great of a resume outside of the losses that they have, which for some reason they count good losses more than they count good wins in certain situations.
Yeah, I mean, I think the ACC needs to schedule lighter. I think that's what this comes down to. All right, you're not going to put us in. We're going to have four teams go undefeated because all they're going to play is William & Mary and JMU and Coastal and do what Indiana and Oregon have done, who've played absolutely nobody this year except for Penn State, and they're looking at the top couple teams in the college football playoffs. I think the ACC needs to take a step back and say, we're just going to go for having the best overall record rather than these unbelievable resume boosters.
Yeah, it's certainly something that they'll have to think about in the offseason. I think the first kind of like wow moment was Indiana dropping UVA in favor of, you know, a series of games against a lesser opponent. And it's like, all right, well, maybe they don't care about these non-conference games as much anymore, especially if you're not going to put weight in one at the beginning of the season. Like, no one's talking about the Miami-Notre Dame game at this point in the year. They only care about what have you done for me lately. So if they're not going to count it as much, yeah, I think it's probably something that Jim Phillips and the ACC office and all these, you know, presidents and athletic directors are going to have to take a look at, is what's the value in it. I know Virginia has some more challenging non-conference games in the years ahead against West Virginia and some other programs, but is it worth it? I think that's something the ACC teams are going to have to take a look at. It's, you know, it feels like the ACC is always caught a little bit behind in these kind of scheduling dynamics.
Yeah, I mean, because Notre Dame's scheduled tough, all right? But you're rewarding them for losing those two tough games because they should have been out of it after that. Now they've worked themselves not just back into it, but to be a top 10 team that completely controls their own destiny. Let's get your preview on UVA at Duke.
Yeah, it's going to be a really interesting one. I think it's going to be tight. I think the line has dropped from 6.5 down to 4.5 now in favor of Duke at home. And, you know, you would figure so with the, you know, two teams kind of at a similar level and Duke being the home team and, you know, kind of the mystery about, is Chandler Morris going to play? Is Daniel Kalen going to play at quarterback for them? I think they have a chance either way, if it's Morris or Kalen, because I think with Kalen, what we saw last week against Wake Forest, well, this is a young quarterback who has not had the first team reps all week. And, you know, he's going to have more first-team reps this week, even with Morris, you know, coming back and practicing starting on Wednesday. I think this Duke defense has a lot of weak points. They have some really strong individual players. Vincent Anthony Jr. is a pass rusher. Chandler Rivers is the cornerback. Really strong individual players, but they just have not put it together as a team. So if UVA can get a little bit more of that ground game going, get some short pass plays going, and getting guys like Trell Harris and Cam Ross out in space and making plays, I think they can put up points just like almost every other team in the ACC has done this year against Duke. On the flip side, this is going to be a big test for this UVA defense that has been playing marvelously better these last five games. Can they continue that against the quarterback in Darian Mensah and this Duke offense, which has a lot of weapons, can get a lot of yards, but their one weak point is in the red zone. You know, sometimes they just come away with field goals. So if you can do the bend but don't break John Rudzinski-style defense, I think they have a good chance.
Yeah, I mean, Mensah can air it out. He's got 24 passing touchdowns this season. But he's taken quite a few amount of sacks here, and I think that would be key. Mm-hmm. Can the UVA pass rush move him off of his spot? Let's transition here quickly to UVA basketball, who's had a good start to their season.
Yeah, it's been a good start. And like I said at the beginning of the year, like, it's been kind of, do they show the incremental progress week over week? And I think the latest game against Hampton was a good sign of that. And I mean, the thing that has stuck out to me the most is they just have one of the most fun benches in college basketball right now, bringing off Chance Mallory, the hometown kid who's averaging double digits as a true freshman right now. Jakari White, who has never met a shot he doesn't like and has made a good chunk of them so far this season. And then Ugana Onyensu, talk about a reclamation project. He was left for dead after his transfer didn't work out at Kansas State and, you know, didn't really jive well with Jerome Tang, the coach there. Well, you know, Ryan Odoms has completely turned his game around. Not only is he a great shot blocker, probably one of the best shot blockers in the country, but he's athletic, and now he can shoot threes. He made his first two threes of his career last game against Hampton. So really exciting stuff there, and I think some other players are starting to round into form too. And this is kind of a team that's setting up to be like, it could be a different guy any given night. Like, we still haven't seen Malik Thomas go off, and I fully expect him to, you know, still be one of their leading scorers by the end of the season.
Yeah, but you're so right about the bench boost, and Coach Odom used that his 2 years at VCU. There's a lot of Joe Bamisil in Jakari from his game, the way he jumps so high on that three-point shot. But yeah, I mean, the bench is exciting, and they've got great starters as well. Next up will be Marshall this weekend, as I think they'll get another win. How do you think the ACC is going to be this year? It seems like this is going to be a much better season for the conference.
Yeah, I think I'm really encouraged by what I've seen so far from the ACC. The one down thing is, you know, this week they had chances to pick up some really big non-conference wins and just came up short. you know, Michigan or Wake Forest was playing up in Michigan and Detroit, and they almost had a chance to beat the number six team in the country in Michigan, and, you know, kind of faded away down the stretch there in overtime. So that was a missed opportunity. Florida State had the defending national champions in Florida on the ropes. That would have been a huge win for the conference. They did get Louisville. Louisville looked very comfortable against Kentucky. I'm not sure what this Kentucky team is going to look like yet, but Louisville looks like the real deal. So there's a lot of depth, and, you know, we'll talk about it. Virginia Tech down in Blacksburg looks like they have a really solid team this year. They were my sleeper coming into the year. I kept saying, like, I think this team is going to be in the NCAA tournament conversation at the end of the year, and I think we're kind of seeing that bear out now. Obviously, a long way to go, but obviously Neo is a fantastic player, but I think they really have a good core around them, and Mike Young's always been one of my favorite coaches in the conference. So between that, NC State, Virginia, North Carolina has looked incredible. You're going to have a really good ACC this year, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, this Commonwealth Cup is going to be very interesting in football and in basketball. Football, it seems like there's going to be a lot on the line for Virginia, and for basketball, it's going to be seeding for the ACC tournament. Preston, really appreciate you taking the time to join us today.
Yeah, man, anytime, Adam. Be a good one this week down in Durham.
Absolutely. That is our buddy Preston Willett. You can check out everything that he does on social media. Check out the podcast, Who's On the Podcast, and he's a writer for the Sabre as well. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on The Fan.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.